All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Rared Podcast. My name is Kevin, and for today, I have a TV show review for you. So I've never done a review on my podcast, but this is something I do want to incorporate, and I feel like this show is a good way to introduce reviews. So if this is something you guys enjoy, just let me know. I think this is something different, and I think it really gives people a good, you know, perspective of TV shows and movies and things like that, you know, from other people. For me personally, I do love listening to reviews, like TV shows or book, just because, you know, when you watch these things, shows, you know, movies or books or whatever, it can be open to interpretation in a sense, or everyone has a different idea, especially what, you know, when they're watching it or again reading it. So it's so interesting to see how people view the you know, show or movie, and yeah, just because I could have a different opinion and they could have a different opinion. So I thought this was something different, and I feel like this is a really important show that I should address, and it's definitely something I feel like is a part of my Rare podcast and just kind of about me. But before we get to that, I do want to give my Selena Gomez fact of the episode. So as of the Grammys, sadly, I think I've said it before, she didn't win, but since then she hasn't done too much in a way of like music. I know she did launch, I think, Wonderland, mental health, thing. I'm not exactly sure, but she did launch something, you know, to help with mental health and mental health awareness. I know she just recently partnered with the White House to do something. Again, I didn't look into it too much with that, but I thought that was something interesting to share. So, you know, I'm really proud of her. I think it's so amazing that she is focusing on mental health in everything she does, you know, again, especially like in Rare Beauty, like the makeup, you know, like what it stands for and, you know, what she stands for. I think it's just beautiful, and I think a lot of people really respect that about her. So yeah, that's my fact of the day. And side note too, I am also, it's been a while since I've recorded in my closet, but yeah, I've been changing up my routine. Definitely something I'm going to talk about in another podcast, but yeah, I've been getting myself together, working out, going to bed early. So my bedtime now is like 9:30 to 10. So I finished everything and I thought, might as well, let's just record this now since I have time. Since yeah, it's been a little hectic with my schedule. So yeah, it's been a while since I recorded, but yeah, little changes here and there. So let me know what you guys think. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and get started with the review of Heartstopper, a Netflix show, which was created by Alice Oseman. It's a really beautiful show. And when I mean beautiful, I mean like I watched it from beginning to end in one go, and I had to even study for an exam, and I was like, I told myself, okay, I've been studying all day, let's go ahead and just take a break and continue back. But just something about this show really, like, I just couldn't stop. But yeah, this is a coming of age romance, again, developed with Netflix, and it's actually a webcomic and graphic novel. So again, everything is done by Alice Oseman, and it's a beautiful story. So yeah, let me know what you guys think of my review, and if you want more, yeah, just let me know and tune in. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with the review. I actually recorded this before, but I was like listening to this and I just felt like I was ranting on way too much, and yeah, I am gonna redo it one more time, and if it doesn't go well, I am gonna go to bed. If it does go well, then you guys will have an episode to listen to. But yeah, I'm gonna just so basically with this recap, I'm gonna talk about each episode and just kind of give you my take on everything. Yeah, when I was recording this, I think I just kind of went all over the place because it was just a lot to talk about. So I'm just gonna go break this down episode by episode, and then just at the end kind of give you my pros and cons of the show so that we're not confused, or I am not confused. So yeah, again, as I said, if I could remember, but basically when I did the intro, again, it's a graphic novel which was done with Alice Osman, and again, not a lot of times I've seen a lot of graphic novels be adapted to TV shows or movies, just from what I've seen. Again, I don't read too much, but, you know, especially with these gay, new, like, gay films or shows that have been coming out, which, again, follow a lot of stories from books, yeah, they've mostly been, like, chapter-long, you know, books. I've never seen it through, like, a graphic novel, so it was really nice. But yeah, let's go ahead and get started with our review. So again, with this, I think the story did a really good job with the pacing. So again, with this season, there are 8 episodes, and each episode really focuses on the development with Charlie and Nick. But they do, in a way, kind of develop kind of quick. Again, with only 8 episodes, you know, it kind of like, the pacing is kind of fast. But they do cut the time off, so, you know, when it's like kind of throughout the whole school year. So the only thing that's a little upsetting that I'm going to say now is that each episode is only 30 minutes, sometimes a little less, also with credits, and it's devastating. I think it's so stupid. I think they need to make them a little bit longer. 30 minutes is not enough, you know, especially with 8 episodes. At least do at least 10 to 12 or maybe even 15. I miss those days when you had a season, it was like 20 so or more. So it's really sad that it's only 8, but if they felt like this was enough to tell the story, then I totally respect it. If they could have added more, then I would have loved that too. But, you know, if that's what they think was good, then that's, you know, that's what they think. But yeah, so let's go ahead and get started. So again, with episode 1, the titled Meet, this really just focuses on, again, the introduction between all the characters. So with this, you get the development, which I love, especially with the cast, is that you get the friend group, and I think they all play an important role. So again, you have Ellie, you have Tao, Charlie, and then you have, Isaac. And essentially, they all kind of play a different role in Charlie's relationship. The most important one is Tao, again, kind of being like the opposite in a sense, or being the devil on the shoulder for Charlie. You know, I know he's always looking out for him, but, you know, with this too, again, when we talk about more, he looks out for him, and some things I feel like it's a little bit too much, but that's their friend group. And I think, again, each character did a great job playing each part, and they did balance off of each other very, very well. And I like that they all had their own personality. You know, we have a transgender character, you know, we have a straight character, and I believe Isaac is asexual. That's what I heard when I was watching clips or seeing comments. I could be wrong, but again, you know, you have, if he was, then you have an asexual character, and then you have Charlie, who's gay. So everyone in the friend group is different, and every personality is different, which I love. I think, again, it just works well, and it's not, even though they're all different, no one is standing out more than the other, in a sense. Like, they all have their own story played out very well throughout the episodes. So with this, again, you know, this show starts off with Charlie, who's a very timid student who kind of gets pushed around by a lot of people, especially Ben, who takes advantage of Charlie and essentially has a secret relationship. And, you know, it really affects Charlie in a sense, because he just wants to have a normal relationship. Even if it's secret, he just wants to feel loved. And that's something Ben can't obviously give him, because he's still in the closet and he can't accept it, that he may be gay or bi. So, you know, it really hurts Charlie, and it hurts Ben too, in a sense, because, or it mostly hurts Charlie, but it just creates a very awkward tension when they're out in public versus when they're, you know, hiding and meeting up in secret. But then we get introduced to Nick, I think, who was perfectly casted. I've watched a lot of interviews just because the show is so good. And he's just like his character. It's crazy enough, I feel like they're the exact same personality, but it does really work. And I think with this show and with the character that he plays, he really shows his personality, you know. So I think it really makes the chemistry between Charlie and Nick very organic, especially in episode 1 when they are just introduced to each other. And essentially, with this, they, you know, develop a little friendship, and they meet because they're both in the same form, which I believe is kind of like homeroom class before their actual periods of other classes. So yeah, with this again, it's a very great episode. I think it really focuses well on the introduction, and you know, you really do get a good sense of kind of who everyone is within that episode, which I think is so great. And then as the story develops, especially in episode 2, this is when you get the idea, you know, like obviously you know the idea that Nick has feelings for Charlie. With this too, it focuses on, you know, the development, and you know, this is when they go out and you know, they go in the snow, which again is the most beautiful scene. But with this is when you can see the chemistry start to grow. The thing with, again, with Nick and his acting too, there's still that conflict within the episode, so you're gonna get Nick wanting to have that relationship but teetering off because he's not ready. And you can see that, which, you know, again, shows the balance with the character. And yeah, I think, or one thing I'm going to talk about now too, especially within this episode and the first episode, is the reliance on the doodles. I'm not going to lie to you guys, I hate the doodles so much. I think the colors, where it just changes to like that pink, you know, at that, you know, that feeling, or when Nick is about to hold Charlie's hand while Charlie was sleeping, and you know, it really distracts from the episode or the scene. I just think it's, I hate using the word childish, but in a way, I just feel like it's not something that's appropriate for the show, in a sense. I mean, yes, because it's a very hard-minded show, but I just feel like it didn't need it. When you have acting like this, where they both can do a good job balancing off of each other and showing that emotion, why do you need doodles to do that for you? Like, I already feel it. I don't need the doodles to be like, yeah, like, he has feelings for him. Like, we can see that, you know? So it definitely bothered me throughout the whole episodes. Especially, I think, in episode 2 when he did that little electric thing. Oh my god, I was just like, we get it. We understand. Nick, you know, likes Charlie. He doesn't want to admit it yet. He's still figuring things out. Like, we don't need all that. And I think it's a little unnecessary. A few here and there, I feel like, would have been okay. But, oh my god, I'm telling you now, not my favorite thing. But yeah, so, and then moving on to the future episode 3. This is when Nick invites Charlie to Harry's 16th birthday party. And this scene to me was so beautiful. I mean, again, I know with still with all the little doodles, but besides that, I think, again, the balance between it was just so heartwarming. And it's like the way he, in a way, essentially just came out to Charlie, obviously by kissing him. It just was very genuine, and you can really see that. And again, especially with a lot of shows, I feel like it can be a little over dramatic. So with this, keeping everything a little simple and toned down, I think it was more effective in this aspect and in this story. And it was just really beautiful. You know, this is when we get introduced to Tara and her girlfriend. And again, I just love that they have such a diverse cast, you know, especially when the female or the all girls go at Higgs. They have a lesbian couple. Then, you know, you have Ellie, who's transgendered. And again, it's just, the story was really good in that sense. And I think, you know, introducing that to in the different schools was a really good idea. And yeah, I think with the relationship, it really grew. And I think this is where, for me, it kind of took that turning point of kind of like, wow, like, okay, like, you know, this show really is beautiful. You know, I think this was the scene that really hit it for me. And again, they just did an amazing, amazing job. So with this too, now we kind of figure out, especially in the next few episodes, that, you know, the relationship is kind of different in a sense, you know, because now you have the different stories of them hearing about, you know, Tara and then Nick. And, you know, it's a lot to figure out, and it does cause a lot of confusion for Charlie and Nick, you know, because now it's kind of like Nick likes him, but then Charlie's hearing all these things, and then, you know, it just causes a lot of conflict. But again, it was told in a very beautiful way, and it was something I felt like, again, I feel like in every show this is something that's very common, and so it was something I do expect. But one of my favorite parts too, especially transitioning from the 4th to the 5th episode, was that, you know, when Nick had to pick between going on a date with the girl or Charlie, you know, especially with the girl's dog dying, like, at that point, I really didn't know who he was gonna pick. And I feel like this really shows too, kind of foreshadows kind of his sexuality, obviously, you know, like, with the girl and male, and then later he obviously comes out as bi. But obviously he shows that his love for Charlie is much, much stronger. And, yeah, it was a really nice scene too, again, from all that drama, in a sense. It was nice that they were able to go bowling to the arcade and just kind of have that nice moment together. And that Nick will be there for Charlie. So with this too, you do see, you know, Nick develop more as a character, again, showing his affection for Charlie and, you know, being a very good guy. You know, again, he also told the girl, you know, the situation, not the whole thing, but, you know, that he wasn't able to hang out. But again, it just really cements Charlie's and Nick's relationship, because it shows that, you know, Nick cares for Charlie. And I think it was really beautiful. Yeah, so that's what happens within the few episodes. We get introduced to, with a little chemistry with Tao and Ellie. This is where, too, I was really surprised, in a sense, because I thought their friend group was going to stay the same. But to see that a new relationship is growing is really beautiful as well, especially between the chemistry between Tao and Ellie. It was done very, very well. So, yeah, this is when now they kind of all hang out and... yeah, just kind of have that relationship before the show, and where Charlie's performing for the band. And then this is where it kind of gets a little bit more within the next few episodes, where Harry does call Charlie a fag. And I think, again, this is just where the relationship kind of teeters off too, because, you know, you have the different dynamics between the characters. And how do I put this? But yeah, I think Nick standing up for Charlie throughout all the episodes just, again, just shows how much he cares, even for as a friend, you know, because obviously that's not something you say. So for Nick to stand up for Charlie, it just really shows the relationship that he has for him, and that he's willing to go above and beyond for Charlie. So, you know, this is, again, obviously where Charlie decides too that, in a way, it should end, because, you know, with Charlie, his personality is very, like, I don't want to hurt anyone. If you have to hurt me to make you feel better, then it's okay. And it's sad, you know, but with, you know, people out there too in real life, that it happens, you know, especially when you're afraid and you're vulnerable, like, what are you going to do, in a sense? So for Nick to stand up for him, you know, really just shows the relationship. But obviously, you know, it can cause a lot of backlash within within Charlie, you know, because it's kind of like, do I keep him and let everything do I ruin his life, in a sense, or do I let him go and he can, you know, live his regular life that he did before he met him, you know? But when it ends in episode 8, this scene too, again, I thought was very powerful. When Nick was gonna punt or kick the ball to the field or whatever, a touchdown goal or a T-zone or whatever, but for him to just kind of stop and be like, no, you know, like, Charlie, like, I like you, like, I want to be your boyfriend, and, you know, like, I want to be with you. You know, again, it was just beautifully done. And I think all these episodes overall did a really good job, again, telling each character and aspects as the episodes went on. I wish it could be a little bit longer, because I would love to get a little bit more chemistry or idea with Ellie and Tao. I felt like they didn't have enough screen time in a sense where, you know, it was enough to even get the idea. I know it was just like a small hint, and obviously I feel like that's what's gonna be foreshadowed if season two happens, but, you know, I just wish I had a little bit more of that. And I would have liked to see an Isaac too. I'm not gonna lie to you, I feel like with him, with Ben and Isaac, I kind of didn't like how they were kind of cast off to the side. You know, it's like they just, like, they served their slight main purpose and that was it. So I thought that was kind of annoying. I feel like Ben could have played a little bit more role with Charlie, you know, because Charlie just kind of blew up and was like, no, like, you don't do that to me. So I feel like we could have a little bit more of an interaction to kind of build more of Charlie's growth. You know, it just kind of happened with Charlie. And I just feel like Ben could have kind of had that more of a balance. And then for Isaac, I'm not going to lie to you, you could have taken Isaac off of the friend group, and in a sense, it wouldn't have done too much. I think with him, again, that's why a lot of people are speculating like he is asexual. He kind of just plays that middle role, and I feel like too, again, because I was looking at it from both sides, you see him as like the happy medium. You know, he's not in the drama, he just does his thing, he loves his friend, and that's it. You know, I feel like you kind of need, in a sense, like, I was thinking, like, you need a character like that where, you know, sometimes it's no one's, like, that person's not dramatic, they're not in any conflict, they're just there to live their life. You know, because obviously Nick and Charlie have their issues, and then Ellie and Tao are gonna probably have their issues because they did promise each other that they want a platonic relationship, but clearly they both like each other and they both don't know that. So, you know, with Isaac being there, I think the creator of the show or the novel really wanted to make sure that you had that one character that was literally like so neutral. And I feel like depending on how you're looking at it, it could be necessary or really unnecessary. I still feel like it could have been okay without him, but with him there, it's not an issue either. That's how I feel. With regards to the cast, especially with the girl that played, or the girl that was like supposed to that liked Nick, I don't know, I just felt the same way. I feel like she could have had a little bit more screen time. Because I just felt like she just played her role to be like, no, I'm gonna distract you from Charlie, and that's my purpose, and I'm just gonna leave right away. It's, you know, it's like she's in and out, and I don't like that. And I feel like if the shows were just a little bit longer, it could have told the story a little bit better in terms of each character and they can develop. Because even though you have the story with Nick and Charlie and Ellie and Tao essentially, and Tara and her girlfriend, you know, I felt like the other characters could have had a little bit more development just to really balance the show in a sense. Again, it's not the end of the world. It, you know, it's, the show is still great with how it is now, but that's just how I feel in terms of that aspect of character development. And then, yeah, I already mentioned the duel that could have been gone, because, girl, that was not it. That was just not it. But yeah, so those are the few things I feel like were issues I felt, or if you can call those issues, I guess, or, you know, I felt like with the show. But overall, the show did a good job really casting beautiful people in the sense of, like, the characters that match them. I feel like with a graphic novel, you do have that advantage of finding people to kind of match them, because you have a picture, obviously, compared to just a book where everything is just based off of your kind of imagination and your adaptation. So again, it was really nice that each character really looked similar to each role. They didn't have to, obviously it wouldn't matter to me, but I think it was a really nice touch, you know. And yeah, one thing too that I feel like I need to emphasize is that I am so happy they are all teenagers, or a majority of them. I mean, being like 20 something, a little bit over 20 is okay. But I'm just really glad that they casted young, like, actors, because, you know, especially when you're playing or you're watching a show based in high school, I don't want 30-year-olds, you know, to play all the time, or I don't want, you know, I feel like it can get a little weird, because you can tell it's not genuine, it's not real. You obviously know that's a show, but with this show, it just felt like I was in their life. You know, because you can really see the innocence in them, and you just see kind of like the immaturity and just them being high schoolers. And that's something, you know, you don't get in a lot of high school shows. Because a lot of other high school shows are very, very, I mean, again, it's realistic to for certain things, but, you know, we still need to pay attention to kind of the other aspects, you know, the difference between high school and then the real world, you know, and I feel like, especially with this show, it really did a good job telling a story through, you know, high school students. And again, the acting and the characters, to me, were spot on. I think, again, they all really balanced each other well. And yeah, I just really enjoyed that. And this is a show I highly recommend. I would give this show a 9 out of 10. It's not perfect because, again, there's some things I feel like have been changed, but, you know, it's a very simple show. It's nothing too dramatic. You're not going to get, like, you know, you're not going to get, like, that crazy dramatic gay shows where it gets really, really depressing, or it gets just too corny, or basically, like, everyone's so, you know, weird. Like, this show really is a simple, happy, warm-felt show. And the development within the show was amazing. And I think it's the pace that I just fell in love with. Like you don't understand. Like, once you finish one episode, you have to start the next in order to understand what happens. And I couldn't put my phone down. But yeah, I think it's just such a beautiful show that I feel like everyone should watch, because, you know, stories like this do happen. You know, it's some people, I understand there are very dramatic things that can happen, but I'm just glad that we can finally talk about a show where it's a happy gay ending. You know, I feel like in a lot of gay shows I watch, either someone dies, you know, someone's just majorly depressed, or, you know, they're just super crazy. So it's just nice where it's just like, hey, this is just a simple gay love story between two guys. And, you know, and yeah, so again, even though it's a very simple, straightforward show, and you know everything's kind of almost predicted and you just know what's going to happen, it's good to watch. I feel like, again, it will put you in a great mood. I'm currently watching it again because I love it so much, and hopefully you guys are tuning into it as well. But yeah, that's kind of my recap of the show and kind of my review. Hopefully you guys enjoyed more of these. I know I kind of rambled a little bit, but again, it's kind of hard to talk and do reviews kind of on your own. I don't know how people do it online. Like, I watch a lot of YouTube reviews, and the pace that they go is crazy. I don't have time. I mean, maybe they have time to really just sit there and section everything, but this is kind of my little recap. Hopefully you guys enjoyed, and if you want more, just let me know. And yeah, please stream the show. I really want a season 2, and there's a lot of expectations, I feel like, you know, with Charlie and Nick's relationship, and then Tal's and Ellie's relationship, and, you know, hopefully we get more of the minor characters, because they're just as special as the main ones as well. So we'll see and find out, but please stream Rare while you're at it. Yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. Bye.